This podcast is brought to you by Pragmatic Solutions, the leading iGaming PAM platform with a modular approach, including many benefits like a fast, secure, and scalable API-based platform integrated with all major third-party products and services. Make sure you head over to Pragmatic Solutions and join our smart thinking.
This podcast is brought to you by Pragmatic Play, a leading game developer providing player favorites to the most successful brands across the industry. With an award-winning multi-product portfolio of slots, live casino, bingo, virtual sports, and more, Pragmatic Play is powering up new possibilities of play through one single API. Visit pragmaticplay.com and discover your favorite every time.
So, James Carvel, new CEO of Yggdrasil, here on the podcast today for a deep dive of the company. How are you doing, James?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Thanks for seeing me today.
It's an absolute pleasure. And as we just spoke about here before, welcome to Malta. After 20-something odd years in the iGaming industry, you finally managed to get yourself to the mecca of iGaming here.
Yeah, no, I'm really looking forward to it. And I've been here since October, and I actually love living here. It's really enjoyable.
Yeah,
it's much easier than I thought. It's actually a great place. It's super vibrant. I'm living, you know, like 5 minutes from my office as well, which also helps.
Yeah. It's a great place to be here in Malta. So James, today we are going to do a deep dive on Yggdrasil. And, you know, for myself, I've been in industry now for quite some time, and I've seen kind of the industry evolving throughout the years. And I remember really clearly when Fredrik started Yggdrasil back in the day. You know, I used to work for Betsson in the early 2010s. Oh, and at that time, we had Casino Red and Casino Black. And it was essentially NetEnt and Microgaming. And those were the only two providers that we used at that time. But Fredrik was really a part of this kind of like new generation of game studios that came after the launch of the shared wallet that kind of opened up operators to use
many more
game studios. And so James, now you have taken over as the CEO of Yggdrasil. Can you start to talk just about your own background of the industry? You obviously have been in the industry for a very long time, but it'd be great to know.
Yeah, I mean, I started over 30 years ago, so I was, I must be one of the oldest veterans in it. So I started off as a croupier in London, and I was a dealer, and I went abroad and came back, and then I ended up running casinos in Mayfair for 20 years, at places like the Ritz. And and then I saw that there was a transition in players and how players were behaving, and less customers were KYC, and everything else became more difficult in land-based, and technology was catching up, and I just wanted to make a transition. I saw that there was an opportunity to do a transition, and I took a job at William Hill in 2011 and moved to Gibraltar, and I think I was really lucky to do that, because I joined at a time where it was download casino, so there was no mobile games. I got to live through and work at William Hill through with some great people, actually, and live through the first games of HTML5 and mobile, and so I got to learn at the same time as technology was evolving. And And so that has been a fantastic journey since, you know, William Hill and then time at Superbet. I did my own studio for a few years, and then OPAP contacted me and asked if I'd like to go there and run their online division. So and which also included iLottery, and which is something I hadn't done before. So it was a great experience. So really enjoying myself there, had fantastic growth at that company, and then I got a call to see if I was interested in joining Yggdrasil, and Yggdrasil was a brand that I've always admired, and I think has a, you know, a warm place in a lot of people's hearts. They cheer for it. It's always been known as being like an innovation brand, and you know, yes, it's had some hard times over the last couple of years, but I think that it's a brand that people really get behind, and I think that there's a lot of stuff that can be done with it going forwards.
Right, and this really feels like it's kind of like the rebirth of the brand to some extent. We're going to talk a little bit later on the reconstruction that that you are undertaking right now. But I want to take a step back, as you pointed out here, that Yggdrasil has had a couple of difficult years. As I mentioned earlier, Yggdrasil was part of this new generation of game studios. It's kind of rose to fame really quickly. It became a household brand in our industry. It did really well. But then seemingly the brand started to kind of lose its edge a bit, it felt like. Can you go back to that a little bit, James, and talk about like what happened there during those years at Yggdrasil, and how are you now planning to bring the brand back?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there was a strategy at the time a few years ago to bring the studios together, because there was different studios in different locations, and to create like an IT hub in Krakow, which was a good idea. And you know, that transition happened, and then COVID hit, and doing all of those transitions at the same time, and going from some companies did really well during COVID because they were good at managing working from home, and some other companies struggled, and doing that transition at that same time, I think had a negative effect. There was a lot of attrition of staff during that period as well. And so some of the skill sets and the learnings that the team had left the business. And I think that the team struggled from there a little bit with quality and game performance. And but I think that what's happened now is that, you know, in a very short period of time, we've kind of done a restructure, and we have everyone in place now to accelerate again.
Yeah, it's exciting times now, James. Can we talk a little bit more about this reconstruction that you're undergoing? You have a couple of different bullet points. I know a reconstruction is not just about replacing individuals, right? It's so much more than that in order to really get to the root of.
Yeah, I mean, it's sometimes when you're looking at the structure of a company and how you need to do things going forward, I think one of the things you have to look at is what is your strategy and how you think and how you want your people to think. And one of the things that we've installed is like a new four pillar system where, you know, we're thinking about efficiency, we're thinking about sustainability, new product and disruptive innovation. And if anyone's working on something that doesn't cover one of those, they're doing the wrong thing. So part of the new restructuring is making it leaner and so that we can go faster. Using new tools and new AI, you know, to make sure that, you know, we're ahead of the competition and you know, we're really utilizing the things out there. I mean, one of the things, you know, really on a basic way is, you know, you think of Jira and Confluence, you know, the product management tools that people have been using for years. But you know, you go and look at the States, you know, who are at the cutting edge of project management and design, and they're moving to different companies, and we're doing the same. So we're moving to a company called ClickUp, where we will use their tools to project manage everything within our company. And so we will go from like a customer code to see all the workflows within the whole company. You'll be able to just click on a project and be able to see everything. You'll see where the blockers are. You see the people who are struggling and the people who are doing well. And I think, you know, in a new age where a lot more people are working from home, you need to have these type of tools in order to manage your business better. And this is one of the things that we're focusing massively on. I think we've also made some strategic changes in some of our people. So I've brought in Alex Haywood. He's our new managing director of Poland. We didn't have a senior member on the ground in Krakow, so he's moved there recently, and we've added some strength into that team. And I think that, you know, he comes with a really good history. He was at Evolution for many years in charge of infrastructure. He's built crypto platforms in the last few years. He's built streaming platforms in the last few years. So, like, he's at the cutting edge of technology, and I think that that's where we want to be. And we're using the tools to help us across our business in order to achieve that.
Yeah, and so it sounds a little bit like on the one hand, you are getting some really senior members of the team in now who can be a part of this change, and also changing some of the legacy tech. Let's say that, as you pointed out earlier, you are going from a company that is kind of structured to work together to a company that can work remotely, and that it's not just about being comfortable as an individual to work remotely, but the structure within the company has to allow for that.
Yeah, point. Absolutely. And our new project is Project Phoenix, which is all to do with our platform. And like you said, it's like a rebirth, you know, and that's why we chose the Phoenix. Name Phoenix. And, you know, Phoenix is that we have a really good platform, which is on good technology. But if you need to accelerate always, and you need to look at how to be better always, and there are, you know, new tools in the market that allow, you know, tasks that are done repetitively can be done by robots now, so which means that the engineers can then spend time on doing tasks that really need to be done, and the jobs that need to be done by the top engineers need to be prioritized and done in the right way. So we're looking at all of these things to be more tech focused, and you know, we have some projects within Project Phoenix, like we called it YGG Formula, and we've basically built a tool which accelerates our slots production. So it means that we get better quality. It allows us to launch faster, and we think that we'll be able to, you know, turn around slots within 4 months where it used to take us 8.
Oh wow!
And that's happened really fast, and we think that, you know, by the end of Q1 that will be in production already. You know, one of the other projects we're doing is YGG Nest, you know, which is, we've listened to the customers, you know, the back office of Yggdrasil hasn't changed for many years, and the back office is the tool that all of our customers use every day, and we're live with 800 brands, and that means that, you know, the customers need to use tools that are easy to use and simple and transparent. And so one of the other projects that we're doing is, and we called it Nest because again it's that rebirth of Phoenix, to give a new back office to the team, and that will be done this year as well. So, you know, there's lots of things that will happen behind the scenes to help us accelerate. I think one of the other things is that I'm really happy that Mark McGinley is with us. He's our chief product officer. He joined just before me, and he comes with, you know, over 20 years of experience in the industry. And, you know, he's starting to put all of his new processes in place to make that, you know, our teams, you know, stronger and faster, and, you know, raising the quality of our games, you know, so every time we launch a game and we can tell people about it, you know, we're really proud of that. And the first game, Rainbow Ryan 2, is like the new benchmark of games going forward, and that will be launching on February the 23rd.
Yeah, I wanted to go into this. You know, there's a lot of restructuring happening behind the scenes, new systems that are being in use, new protocols, new processes, so on and so forth. But at the end of the day, what matters are the games, right?
And correct.
The quality
always.
Of the games.
Always.
So can you talk more about, you mentioned a game that will be kind of the first game of this new kind of rebirth of the brand, but can you talk more about how will the games be different, and what can your customers and your players expect from Yggdrasil in 2024 compared to 2023, let's say?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we've in 2023 we launched 20 games, and I think the teams were really stretched to push as many games out as possible, and I think that we've sat down and reevaluated what's important, and quality of the games is paramount, and we've reduced that now to 1 per month, and I think that means that we can test all of our games so much longer. And fine-tune them to the nth degree in order to make sure that, you know, we're super proud of everything that goes out, and to support all of our games going live on a monthly basis, we're launching YGG 23, which is our new marketing around our premium games. So on the 23rd of every month, from now on is our premium game release. So we will own that day, you know.
Right.
So every operator out there will know on the 23rd of every month is the day that Yggdrasil launch their premium game of the month.
That's
Yggdrasil Day. Yeah, absolutely. And then that gets supported by, you know, the marketing team who will be going out and speaking to the operators on that day and sending cupcakes to everyone and merchandise. But, you know, that's the day that we're going to get behind every month. And that also creates a space for us, you know, in this very busy market where everyone is launching content all the time and pitching to operators for space. You know, we will create our own space, you know, by doing that. And innovation isn't just in your games creation. It's about how you market and how you create a space for yourself to be successful. And that's part of this.
Right. So, you know, most people or all people, they have their birthday once a year. Yggdrasil, they have the monthly.
Yes, day. Exactly. So, yeah, we're going to have 12.
I love it. At Yggdrasil, you're celebrating something every month. I like
that.
This is a part also of kind of a marketing and branding effort within the organization as well. So, you know, if we take a step back and look at the game development sphere from a helicopter view, there are hundreds of game studios today in the industry, right? Some are huge, some are smaller, and games are being launched on a continuous basis every single day. In that context, with all that noise happening, can you talk more about how do you claim space and how do you get visibility in this really chaotic kind of industry? You talked about YGD 23.
Yes,
that's a great step, right? Do you have more kind of thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, the other thing is that we have a new commercial director who's joined and a new commercial team. Jose has joined us and he has years of experience. And one of our USPs going forward will be our customer service. You know, I think it's something in this crowded space that a lot of companies don't focus on.
Yeah.
And you know, our USP has always been our design. You know, everyone's always loved the design and the high quality of the art that we have. We now have, you know, better maths and in our games going forward. But it also has to come with customer service, like knowing your customers, knowing what they want, being able to do bespoke deals with people, being able to be on the end of a phone when there's an issue. I think all these things are super important now. And like you said before, like in a world that's gone remote, you know, the team will be doing lots more face-to-face, actually. You know, The idea is that team will be traveling all year round, you know, visiting our customers and making sure that we listen to them and see to their needs.
Right. Okay. So James, if we look at the incumbents of the industry, we have the Pragmatic Plays, the Evolutions, the Light and Wonders, and so on and so forth, and they are consistently eating a bigger and bigger part of the wallet of the operators. Can you talk a bit more, like, how do you go against that trend? How do you go up against that? How do you compete against these ginormous incumbents of the industry?
Yeah, I mean, I think that those companies have done fantastic. They all had their own USPs, which helped them. And whenever you're competing with the Goliaths of any industry, you have to have disruptive innovation. And I'm really happy to announce that we have done a deal with Hungry Bear for their Slot Masters product. And the Slot Masters product is unique innovation in the market. So it's peer-to-peer slot play. And the slot games are battles where you battle two other players. And at the moment, that's only offered free-to-play. And we will be offering that free to play everywhere. And when I was at OPAP, I think I was the first person to take that product, and we had a huge loyalty. I mean, over 40% of our base was playing Slot Masters every day, you know, regardless of their value, whether they were low value customers or high value customers. And we did tournaments and gave prizes every day on the back of it, and that drove a huge amount of customer loyalty into our website. So I know it works as a loyalty product on the free to play, but we're going to be launching the real money worldwide, And I think this is massive disruptive innovation. And it's a product that they've been working on for 3 years. Mm. And I think that it would be really difficult for anyone to follow, even if they try to do it fast. And the great thing about Slotmasters is, I think a lot of people, you know, everyone's seen a massive decline of poker online. And, you know, I used to play poker as well.
Yeah, you mean the same.
Yeah. And the thing is that we all ended up being the fish because the sharks were eating all of us because people are playing with computers and and it became unfair. But people like peer-to-peer play. And this is the first time that there's going to be a product that people can use that's a slot product where people can play a slot game. And they're playing against two other people, and they can steal their money, they can freeze their reels, and you know the winner out of that gets paid. And I think that this is one of the things that we're looking at. We're looking for disruptive opportunities in the market, and this is the first one. And I'm really happy to say that we've signed them up globally. So, and this would be a product that would be launching hopefully in H1 of this year. And I think that's how we will make a space for ourselves. Right. And I think, and when we talk about the others like Games Global, you know, they have, you know, nearly 50 studios plugged in. We have our own Masters studios. We offer the same service, but we haven't expanded massively with our Masters. And the capacity of our new platform under Phoenix means that we can plug in so many more studios. So, you know, one of the things that we'll be looking for is making sure that we're available to be an aggregator for so many more studios. We have two businesses. We have one which is our core games, and under YGG23, people will know that the 23rd of every month is our platinum core game. But at the same time, we have some really good Masters studios under our aggregation platform, and we'll be pushing those a lot more. And we will welcome in a lot more studios to come in because we have the capacity to do it with our new technology.
Right. So again, going back to this point that there are hundreds of game studios in the industry today. Many of them are smaller. They don't necessarily are that excited about carrying the commercial part of the business, so then they can instead plug into Yggdrasil and let you take care of commercial.
Exactly.
For them. They can focus on game production.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, we have so many operators plugged into us. We have a new, you know, super hungry commercial team, and you know, we've even transformed the way that we look at legal. We turn contracts around in you know, an incredibly short amount of time, you know. So, you know, all of the things we're trying to do are to be leaner and faster and more competitive. And I'm sure Pragmatic and Evolution and Games Global know that when you get to a really big size, you become a warship, and it's really difficult to turn quickly. And that's why the team now is focusing on being lean, so that we can, you know, we can steer our run ship faster and seek new opportunities.
Right. Interesting, James. And you talked about the importance of disruptive innovation. And in the slot world in the last, you know, 20 or 50 or 100 years, there hasn't necessarily been that much innovation taking place. We still see real based games, we see grid based games, and obviously Mega Race was one of those innovations that came during the 2010s. When you think about innovation in the slot world, you talk about the peer-to-peer gaming, for example. Is that a trend that you see emerging? Do you have any other perspectives on innovation?
No, I think that's peer-to-peer has to be looked at. And I think it's a niche that hasn't been exploited, especially in the slots world. And I think that's something that we will go after strongly. But it doesn't mean that we will rest there. You know, we're exploring different jackpot models at the moment about how jackpots can change in the future. But I think also because I've spent a lot of time as an operator rather than as a supplier, I think one of the things that I was able to do, we had, you know, huge teams of, you know, of analysts who used to spend hours and hours looking at customer behavior. And I would say that, you know, since COVID has happened, customers have changed. They're looking for more entertainment, definitely. they're not willing to spend 400 spins to get into a bonus round. They're looking for you know, an even mix of aspirational prizes and achievable prizes, whereas I think if you go back 5 years ago, it was just aspiration only. And so, you know, the games of the future have to be something that gives something all the time. And so it doesn't have to be massive innovational change. It has to be following the trend of the customer. And I think that that's what we will do. We will learn about our customers and the players that play our games, and we will start servicing, you know, the actual players, you know. So if they're after an equal mix of aspirational prizes and achievable prizes, then that's what we're going to start building. And I think that the games you will see this year are more of that flavor.
Right. And another potential kind of disruptive tool to be used is generative AI. Especially in the last year, since the launch of Midjourney and ChatGPT, this has been on everyone's lips. And what I hear is that many or most of the studios today are using Midjourney and other tools to produce the graphical assets, audio assets, and so on. How do you guys think about the use of AI?
We're all in. So I mean, even ClickUp has AI in it, and I think it transforms the way that we will build slots in the future. It will also transform how we market ourselves. It transforms, you know, using robots for to do the general tasks. And you know, even just before Christmas, I spent some time in San Francisco, speaking to some people at OpenAI about, you know, what does the future look like, and and it's accelerating. And you know, we need to be at the cutting edge of that. You know, at the moment, you can have graphically, you know, we can go and get images really fast, and we can design images really fast, but we haven't been able to do anything else apart from that, you know. So but in a year's time, in 2 years' time, maybe we'll be able to do, you know, really amazing animations really quickly in days, not weeks or months. So we need to be at the front of looking for those new innovations and those new technologies all the time, so that we don't go behind. You know, if you're not moving forwards, you're going backwards.
Right. And it's interesting that you say that, James, because in the conversations that I've had with developers in the world of AI and development agencies that are trying to pitch the use of AI into organizations, they always come back and they say that the bigger organizations, the bigger they are, the more resistant they are to incorporate AI and kind of these new tools and new ways of working, whereas the smaller, more hungry companies and the up-and-comers are much more eager to take on board these new tools.
For sure. And you know, we are eager. And if there's anyone in our company that's not eager, they shouldn't be there, you know. Yep. So it's super important to be at the front. And I think that some of the big companies, you know, are always scared because people are trying to look after their jobs, right? So
right.
If you're a copywriter and you now have ChatGPT-4, you know, it's scary, right? But actually, rather than being scared, you should embrace. And if you embrace, you can show that you can actually do four times the amount, you know, on your own, and show that you have so much extra value because you're at the front of embracing that technology. And you know, we have a younger team at Yggdrasil now, and of, you know, full of hungry people who are trying to embrace all of the new technologies that are out there now. So we will try more.
Right. So you haven't had this resistance, let's say, from designers and so on, who take a lot of pride in designing figures themselves.
No, I mean, actually the opposite. I mean, YGG Formula, which is our new slot maker, it is all based on using AI. So, and we're trying to embrace that. And it's not a 6-12 month project. We're doing it in weeks. because we're looking at new ways of using technology. So we're actually super excited about the future. And, you know, I want people to look, I would like to have a conversation in a year from now where people are going, oh, wow, look at what you did, you know? And so, you know, you have to be forward looking. You know, if you look in history at any company that wasn't forward looking, Kodak, Nokia, you know, BlackBerry, you know, they all failed, right? Because they didn't keep looking to move forward. So, yeah, we can't risk that for this company.
Oh, no. It'd be interesting to see in a year's time, 2 years time, where this leads, because you could also imagine that with the democratization of design for slot games, it will also open up for a lot of studios to produce a lot more games cheaper at the same time. So maybe we are just behind a kind of new wave of massive amount of games.
Yeah, sure. And that's why one of the things that we're working on with our platform in Project Phoenix is being able to handle so many more games a year. And with our masters, we want to be able to offer hundreds of games a month if needed, right? If that's what the need was. So, and the technology is there already, and you know, the availability is there already. And like I said, you know, we're looking forward to adding a lot more studios into our masters and giving them access to the tools that we have so that they can build so much quicker.
Yeah. One thing you mentioned earlier, James, is that you are actually decreasing the amount of games that you are producing in 2024 compared to 2023. And I suppose this is something that goes against most other game suppliers that are trying to focus on producing more and more games. And so I want to ask you, you know, how important is it for you to focus on potential games that can become the next big hit, to say, for the company versus developing games at volume that all kind of perform mediocrely, let's say?
Yeah, and I think this is one of the things that, you know, it might have been the strategy of Yggdrasil before, to just launch lots of games in that way. But actually, if you have a look at, you know, the top 10 performing games or the top 50 performing games, they take most of the pot. And so this year, I think that we need to, you know, really showcase how strong we are. And so while we will have some other games, they won't be our premium game. You know, the team is working on 12 absolutely top class premium games per year. And because I think that's super important. We're trying to build blockbuster games, and that's the job of the company.
Yeah, so no mediocrity.
None.
Just focus on.
No, there's no room for it anymore. There's no room for it. And there's a high demand for quality. And in when you have a look at how many games are consumed, and if you get 3 days at the top in a good position, and then your game dies, you know, if you don't have a fantastic quality game, it doesn't stick.
Oh.
And we are 100% committed to building spectacular games going forward.
Right. And it must be also quite important to build on those legacy brands that you have been successful with in the past, the follow-up games and so on, right?
Yeah, I mean, this year we will have Raptor 2, we have Valley Gods 3. So, you know, there's sequel games coming out this year. Rainbow Ryan is number 2 coming out. So this year's roadmap is really focusing on the games that people loved before, and launching a sequel of that's so much better.
Great.
And you know, and I think that's super important for a company, to because people remember our games, right? And so that you can create a space for yourself. If you've had a blockbuster game, you can create a space for yourself by launching a sequel. You can't do it every month, but you know, having a sequel to your strongest performing games, you know, on a quarterly or half yearly basis is, I think, is important.
Yeah. How do you think about the brand itself, James, as Yggdrasil? So if we look at the industry today, we have some of the slot providers are quite generic. They will produce all types of games without really a red thread between them.
Yeah.
Then you have others like, let's say, No Limit City, which are really niche, and you know, you always know what you can expect from them, and the brand is really kind of well-defined. If you look at Yggdrasil, how do you want people to think about the brand moving forward? Is there any red thread? So is there any USP?
Yeah, I mean, we're in Rainbow Rhine 2, we're launching our new UX UI for our games, and that will be our new UX of what people can expect in the future. So it's a better look and feel, works far better in mobile portrait. I think that, you know, we haven't launched a Vikings game for a couple of years, and I think people know us for Viking games, so I think you can expect more Viking games from us.
That's the name as well.
Exactly, yeah, right? So I think that, you know, we mustn't forget our brand and what it means. People expect innovation style content from us. They expect incredibly high quality artwork, and they expect some Vikings every now and again as well. So I think that as a brand, I want to be seen as, you know, disruptive and innovative and fun. And I think that, you know, those core values are being built into our culture going forward, so that people will feel that when they play our content.
Right. It would be a crime, I think, for a brand that is from the Nordic mythology, the Yggdrasil tree, to not have Vikings
for sure. And that's the first conversation I had with Mark when I joined, you know.
More Vikings.
Give me more Vikings. Yeah, for sure.
That's in the contract.
Yes, absolutely.
So James, we have ICE coming up now, of course, the last one happening in London here before ICE move on to Barcelona from 2025. Obviously the biggest show of the year.
So
this is kind of like it feels like the coming out kind of period now for Yggdrasil. You are launching a lot of these new initiatives and news are coming out. What are you planning for ICE this year? What can operators expect?
Yeah, we've done it completely different. Yeah. So I think that we really want to look after our customers, right? This is the number one thing that we want to do. So what we've done is, in order to support our master studios for our aggregation platform, we have a stand inside ICE that we give free to our masters. So anyone that joins us, the top master studios get to be on a stand and showcase their games. So we have a master stand inside ICE. But what we decided to do is take over Tapa Tapa. So it's the restaurant that everyone knows to go for good food at ICE,
right?
Which is always a struggle. And it's literally right outside the door of ICE, and we've taken over Tapa Tapa for 3 days. And,
oh, nice.
So it's all branded. It's all of our commercial team are going to be there, including myself and Mark and Alex and Jose, and we're there to look after our customers. Yeah. You know, so it's about building relationships. It's about giving a better service. We have live bands on Tuesday and Wednesday. We have an open bar. We have magicians and food all day. Yeah. And then Thursday, we're actually doing all day breakfast, because we know Thursday is normally the tough day for everyone. So
smart.
So if anyone has a hangover, you know, we welcome those operators to come in and our clients, so we can give them a pickup and breakfast in the morning. So, but it's about, you know, our new USP going forward needs to be our care and attention to our clients. And this is the first showcase of that.
Yeah. Can I say, what a smart objective here, to take over the most popular restaurant device to make your competitors hungry. That will make you stand out more than anything.
I mean, when you ask what we're going to do against the other people.
Right. Make them hungry.
Make them hungry. Right.
I love it. So if we now just zoom in on like the short and medium term focuses for Yggdrasil. So it sounds like in the short term, you have the reconstruction that is ongoing.
Yeah.
A couple of the new games are happening. The aggregation platform. Could you just talk a bit more, summarize the short and medium term?
Yeah, I mean, to summarize, we're looking at those four pillars, right? So we're in we need to be more efficient and faster. We need to use new tools. We need to use AI. We need to have engineers doing engineering, not manual tasks, you know, every day. So the big drive, you know, in the short term for the first 3-4 months was when I joined, was really to push through that efficiency drive. Now we're going towards, you know, being sustainable. And how do we build a sustainable company going forward? And that means that every month we need to look back at what we did, you know, consider what we did and realize, can we do it better? And to make, you know, lots of small changes always on a monthly basis of all the things within the company. And it's just to try and change the mindset within the company that to be sustainable, you have to improve every month. Like whether that's the commercial team, you know, speaking to 10% more customers every month, whether it's, you know, Mark's team looking at, you know, can we raise the quality by 10, 20% every month? Whether it's the engineering team, can we be more efficient and do more every single month? You know, this is the mindset of the company, and we have to be disruptive in everything we do. Mm-hmm. So whether it's signing up new people to do peer-to-peer games, whether it's looking at new content that we're going to launch, whether it's taking over Tapa Tapa,
and making competitors hungry,
you know, because they can't come in and eat and see our new games. You know, we have to be disruptive, and it's a mindset change within the company and within the group. And if we follow these areas, and I there's no reason why we won't be successful. You know, a lot more successful than we already have been. And I would, like I said, I expect everyone to be talking about Yggdrasil much more throughout this year and going forward.
Right. And this is a good starting point, this conversation, for sure. And
yeah, for sure.
Last question for you today, James, is so if we now zoom out a little bit from a longer perspective, all the hard work that you are doing now in the short and medium term, where do you want Yggdrasil to be in 3 years' time?
I would like people to be looking at Yggdrasil the way that we look at Pragmatic and Games Global and Evo today. You know, really simply, like, how did they do it? How did they get there? How do we compete? And, you know, and just congratulating them on a job well done, like we should do to the other companies.
Yeah, I love that. Clear goals, clear cut.
Absolutely.
James, it's really exciting to have you on here at the podcast today. I'm very excited as well, as someone who followed Yggdrasil since the very beginning, since Fredrik started the company back in the day. I was lucky to be invited to the Yggdrasil Day a couple of months ago here as well. Mm-hmm. So I heard some of the updates. It seems like there's a lot of energy in the company, a lot of excitement. So I'm looking forward as well to follow.
Thank you. Here, and thanks very much for this afternoon as well.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.